Hey folks, it's Mike from Profiling Evil. I've been studying criminal behavior for more than 40 years, and one of my favorite research tools is Truth Finder. It's online, and you're not going to believe the information stored there. So if you want to know more about that new neighbor, your babysitter, or your online date, give Truth Finder a try. I'm including a special link below with special discount pricing, but you got to click the link and enter EVIL10 at checkout. Now, we're an affiliate, which means we get a small commission, but you can cancel at any time. Than walking into your home and discovering it's been broken into. It's our sanctuary, and it's the one place we should feel safe all the time. It violates our sense of security, and it leaves us uneasy with every creak and groan that we hear after it occurs. Let's talk about burglaries and home invasion. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Profiling Evil Academy, Season 3, and this episode on burglary and home invasion. And to my university students and those of you from the Profiling Evil Academy memberships, thanks so much for supporting us. Welcome back. And for those of you who are new to the channel, make sure you're hitting that like and subscribe button. That way you can get all of our notifications when we release new videos like this one. And if you like podcasts, check out Profiling Evil Podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. And by all means, don't miss out on going to our website at profilingevil.com. You know, I remember memorizing the residential burglary statutes for my state over 40 years ago. It was something that law enforcement officers investigate all the time, home burglaries. I've never forgotten the statute, although it's probably been adjusted or modified a little bit since those days back in 1980. But burglary occurs when a person enters or remains unlawfully in a dwelling with intent to commit theft, assault, or any other felony. Now, if the victim's at home, and if the victim is threatened, the crime could be elevated to aggravated burglary, which is really serious. Well, years after my career, I remember reading an article in the FBI Journal by then Fort Lauderdale, Florida Police Chief James Hurley. He coined this term home invasion robbery. Now, it caught my attention because robbery and burglary are two distinctly different things. But the classification made sense to a degree, and in the purpose of breaking into somebody's home was to rob them. But it's not the right classification as far as the criminal code. Robbery? Let's talk about it. I mean, it might be tomato or tomato to some of you, but I was troubled because cops can tell the difference in the elements of robbery and aggravated burglary. Nonetheless, title of home invasion really spoke to the community, and it became the definition most commonly used. Now, to break it down simply defined, home invasion differs from burglary in the criminal has some type of intent, and it's usually a violent intent as part of breaking into the home. They want to be face-to-face when they take something. I mean, this is really personal. They want to experience the thrill. I mean, these sick individuals get a thrill from seeing terror in the eyes of their victims. That's a whole lot different than the burglar who breaks into your home, quietly steals your laptop computer, and slips back out. To these kinds of predators, it's all about the intimate and forceful contact, and that is what's so terrifying. So in emphasizing my earlier point on the definitions, most jurisdictions still refer to crimes as burglary or aggravated burglary. And those aren't robberies. Robbery is when I come up and I take something forcibly from you, your person, you. Burglary is where I break into your home, whether you're there or not, and steal things from you. Two different kinds of things. But most states are considering legislation to change the name. In fact, New Hampshire passed a bill that made any death that occurs in the home during a home invasion a capital offense. And we've talked about a number of serial killers that have been tied to home invasion crimes. And you can go back and watch those on my videos and check out some of the cases like BTK, Bindem, Torture, Kill. This was Dennis Rader. And if you remember, between 1974 and 1991, Rader broke into a number of Wichita, Kansas homes. He committed a number of brutal sexual assaults and murders when he did this. Rader would systematically break into the homes and take unsuspecting people hostage, where he'd bind them, assault them, and eventually murder them. Let's shoot further west to James DeAngelo, Joseph James DeAngelo, the Golden State Killer. Here's another serial killer and rapist who was active in California in the 70s and 80s. Now, he was known to have murdered at least 10 people in the attacks where the break-ins to the homes happened while people were sleeping. And just recently, he was captured a couple years ago. And don't forget to check out my videos on Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. I talk about interviewing Ramirez in San Quentin Prison and about discussions we had around his home invasions, his murders, rapes, and robberies. He was convicted of all of those. He was responsible for killing at least 12 people during his nighttime exploits, and he eventually died in prison. And above all, make sure you check out my 60 Minutes documentary that I did last year on Mr. Cruel, the Australian pedophile who entered homes and attacked young girls in the Melbourne area during the 80s and 90s. Well, the list of predators goes on and on, but I want to return to Wichita, Kansas for just a second, not to talk about BTK, but to talk about Jonathan and Reginald Carr. You've probably never heard of them, but these two guys entered a Wichita home in December of 2000. They took a group of five people hostage before brutally assaulting and murdering them. The Carr brothers were from Dodge City in the 20s. Year-old men had already amassed lengthy criminal histories. Just days before the home invasion, the brothers robbed and wounded a local assistant baseball coach. Then 3 days later, they shot and killed a 55-year-old musician. But it was on December 14th that the Carr brothers broke into a house that they chose at random. Inside were five people, each with different backgrounds. Now, after searching all their victims, and after they secured him, the brothers ransacked the house in search of valuables. They sexually assaulted everybody repeatedly, and they even made them dress and then take them to local ATMs where they emptied their bank accounts of all their money. After they had their money, they drove them to a secluded soccer complex where they executed them all. All but one. To show how depraved these criminals are, they drove a truck over the victims' bodies before they fled the area after shooting them. But miraculously, one victim survived because the plastic barrette in her hair actually deflected the bullet. Unclothed, she walked for more than a mile in freezing temperatures to a home where she summoned help. Well, in the meantime, the killers returned to the house to check it for additional valuables. You know, I often speak of evil and pure evil. Well, these vicious killers used a golf club when they got back to the house, and they used it to beat one of the victim's dogs to death. These were deranged people. The Carr brothers, both paroled criminals, were charged with three counts of capital murder. Well, the list of similar kinds of criminal cases goes on and on, and instead of focusing on others, let's turn our thoughts to what we can do to make our homes more secure. For instance, take an inventory of your residence. Check your windows and your doors. Make sure all your entry points have updated locks. Keep your things locked up, especially when you're away, even if it's only for a few minutes. And keep lights on when you're away to keep your house from looking empty, abandoned. And if you're going to be away for a long time, ask the local mail service to collect your mail and give it to you all at once instead of letting it pile up in your mailbox or on your porch. In the days when people were delivering papers, and some of you may still get a daily newspaper, stop the newspaper service so that there's no indication that you're not around. You know, going on to USPS, United States Postal Service, for those of you in the United States, is really easy to go on and do a hold mail from your mobile device. And if you haven't, consider investing in an alarm system. And if you have one, use it. I think that motion-activated lights are a great invention, and if you can afford them, consider leaving some exterior lights on overnight. Now, when it comes to protecting your digital footprint, make sure all of your information is password protected, including your cell phones and tablets. Experts remind us that we should use unique passwords, which I know can be pretty darn challenging, but use a longer string of characters from a phrase that you'll remember, but the criminal won't be able to guess. You can use something like, "I like profiling evil." That might be your next password. Hey, be aware of what you post on social media, too. I mean, sometimes we put addresses inadvertently, locations, or other kinds of personal information up, and it makes its way into photographs or posts by accident. So if you're posting sensitive information such as photos of your kids, vacation itineraries, etc., make sure your privacy settings are up to date. Hey, and talk to your kids often about what they are doing online, who they're communicating with, and what information they can share. And whenever possible, folks, travel with a friend or in a group. Don't ever be too embarrassed to ask somebody to walk you to your car or to your home if you're not feeling safe. And since we've mentioned cars, always keep your car locked. And avoid leaving valuables in your car, including the trunk. And if you find yourself in unfamiliar areas of travel, places that you're not accustomed to, do some research ahead of time to figure out where you can go if you have an emergency. Familiarize yourself with the local customs and laws, especially if you're visiting another country. Just because something might be legal here in the States or in your country of residence doesn't mean that it's permitted where you're going. I mean, think of Brittany Griner. Holy cow. So keep important documents like passports and valuables in a safe place while you're sightseeing. Now, here's a place I have trouble because they suggest you should never take them with you and always leave them secure at your hotel or residence. I'm the guy that, you know, really worries about that most of the time and tries to keep them with me. But I'm going to let you make a decision on that one. And back at home or on the road, if you have prescription medications, make sure they're stored in a secure location. And if it's at home, up high and out of the sight of curious house guests, children, or burglars. And never offer your medications to anybody else. You should be the only one taking your medicine. Sharing is not only dangerous, it's illegal. And one tip worth considering is keep your medications organized in their original packaging. Well, you can find a lot more information online, and I hope you'll go and search out things. But as you become more aware, you're automatically going to become more secure. So what are your thoughts on this one, folks? Do you feel more frightened or more empowered? I'm going to be watching for your comments down below, and I hope you'll take time to read each other's comments, respond, and together we'll learn some more. I hope you're enjoying Season 3 of Profiling Evil's Academy. We've been discussing criminal behavior in deeper detail, and I hope that you'll take a moment and hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so that you get all of our notifications on videos just like this one. And don't forget, folks, check out Profiling Evil podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. Go to ProfilingEvil.com and sign up for our digital newsletter, The Bolo, and go back and watch some of our other videos in the Academy series. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon at the next crime scene. Hey folks, it's Mike from Profiling Evil. I've been studying criminal behavior for more than 40 years, and one of my favorite research tools is Truth Finder. It's online, and you're not going to believe the information stored there. So if you want to know more about that new neighbor, your babysitter, or your online date, give Truth Finder a try. I'm including a special link below with special discount pricing, but you got to click the link and enter EVIL10 at checkout. Now, we're an affiliate, which means we get a small commission, but you can cancel at any time.